Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo!
And we are glad to be spending another episode with you talking about student ministry. So just as a reminder, we don't say this every time, but I think it'd be helpful just to throw out if you're new to the podcast or have listened to it for a little while and just never heard this part. This podcast is designed to encourage and inform student ministry leaders at every level. We want it to be both practical and philosophical relating to student ministry and leadership. Our goal is to encourage student ministry leaders serving in the local church and to share insights learned from the student ministry community at large. So that's the description of the podcast. That's what we try to do each and every time we hit the record button and post it for you, the listener. I want to also just take a quick second and say thank you for those of you that have gone to leave a rating and review. You have been awesome about doing that lately. Thank you so much. We've continued to see what you think about the podcast. I want to highlight a couple of the most recent ones. Mama Two Tots says, great content on practical student ministry issues that arise on a regular basis within the church. AZO0180 says, this is a great podcast from the full-time student pastor to the volunteer youth leader. We listen every week and find great truths that we can put into our student ministry. As a volunteer youth leader for over a decade, this is an invaluable tool to discipling students for Christ. Highly recommend. Thank you for that, AZO0180. And this last one that I will share with you today is Jeremy. He says, I'm about a year and a half into student ministry, and this podcast has been extremely helpful throughout this time. Thank you guys for your experience and willingness to share it. So those are just a couple of the recent rating and reviews that we've had. Thank you so much for leaving those. If you haven't left one, we want to know what you think. Even if it's not a glowing review, we want to know what you think because we want to get better. We want this podcast to be a service to all of you. So head over there, leave that rating and review, mark the stars, and write a note because we want to get better. If you want to reach us on Twitter, you can tell us what you think that way too. You can find me at Ben Trueblood, and you can find John Paul at John Paul Basham, B-A-S-H-A-M. And with that, we are going to enter into a new idea on the podcast. So producer Nathan, who we've talked about several times, really is going to make his podcast debut with us today.
Right here, right now.
That's right. Here we go.
Yeah. All right. So Nathan is going to give us a statement, and we've not heard these statements. John Paul has not heard the statements or read them.
No.
And neither have I. And so producer Nathan is going to read a statement, and then we are going to say if we agree with it or disagree with it and give just a brief point about it. And so we're going to introduce this as like it or spike it. All right. So if we like it, then
we're going to say like it.
We're going to like it. If we don't agree with it or if we hate it, we are going to spike it into the ground, much like you would a volleyball or a spike ball.
Are you going to have a spiking motion as you say spike it?
I don't know. I can.
Are you going to say spike it in any kind of an accent?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I haven't thought through how I'm going to deliver a spike.
Is there a spike it face?
Maybe. I do like a good game of volleyball. I like to spike. I like the spike. I prefer the block even to the spike, though. It feels better.
You prefer the block?
Yeah. Like if I'm going to do something in volleyball, I prefer the absolute stuff block over the spike.
To successfully block somebody feels good.
Yeah.
But going up for the block, I'm positive every single time that I'm going to get a volleyball to the face. Every time I'm nervous and don't want to go up.
Yeah. You just got to motor through, power on, jump high. Other metaphors for rising above. All right. Producer Nathan.
Yes, sir.
We are ready. John Paul, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
Let's dive in. All the rave this summer. Ready for it? Church clap.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm going to go first. I'm going to spike the junk out of church clap. It is the worst thing to happen to student ministry since lock-ins.
Do you guys know what the church clap is? I mean, not everybody may know what church clap is, but can we even play that on the podcast? Is there a rights thing?
Yeah.
Can we just say rights belong to churchclap.com or something?
I don't know. Don't go to churchclap.com. I'm not sure what. We don't know what's there. If you haven't heard of church clap, it's a song by KB, and there's a dance that goes with it, and I heard it all summer long. It drove me insane. This is one I will spike.
I like it.
Right off the, see, this is a good one. Producer right. Nathan, this is a good one.
Because
we actually disagree on this.
I like it because you can play it. You can create a little bit of a, like once your students know it and know what to do during the church clap, then you've got a little momentum builder. Everybody gets involved. Everybody's in it. And then you start off with energy.
So it's a good hype thing for you.
Yeah.
Man, the hype's not worth it for me. It just got, dude, I don't know what it was. Like at the beginning of the summer, I was like, okay, I kind of get it. Like this is kind of neat. The whole room is doing it. So like, I guess that would be in the positive column. It is something that the whole room was doing together. So towards the end of the summer, man, it just wore on my last nerve.
It's like, what's that thing? I'm trying to look it up and I can't find it. That guy that does the hands, like he's
jazz
up there
hands?
Dancing. Our kids learned like the whole deal. And so we would play the video before the service started, and anytime we would just play it at random, and any Wednesday that we played it, everybody was up doing the dance.
I don't remember it.
I love it. I wish if I remember it in the middle of this podcast, I will interrupt whatever conversation we're having.
So what we've learned from you this is that you enjoy a group dance.
I do.
A group hype dance. That's what we've learned. All right. Producer Nathan.
Yep.
Number two.
All right. Number two is Messy Games.
Oh, man. I think this is totally contextual to me.
It's like it or spike it. Not like it. Maybe contextually spike it.
Yes, that's true.
You do have to hold to a standard. I'm going to have to say like it then. If I have to go one way or the other, I'm going to have to say like it. Because the potential for what can happen in a messy game for humor is high.
I like it, too.
I was sure you were going to spike it.
No, here's why, though. Because we're not, and Producer Nathan said, we're not allowed to contextualize. So I feel like if you like it in any environment, you've got to like it at this point. But the qualifier is it has to have the right place. Like, if you just do it randomly on a Wednesday night just to be funny, I spike that all day. Like, I just hate that.
Yeah.
But if you're in the right environment, watching a junior high kid drink a can of Mountain Dew out of his friend's shoe is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's just awesome.
Yeah, they're good.
The McDonald's Happy Meal put in the blender with the Fanta orange drink or the grape purple drink, but not the purple drink from hip hop culture.
Not the scissor.
actual purple beverage.
The egg, what am I trying to say? Hard boiled egg versus just the raw egg where they have to smash it on their head. That's a messy game that I love.
Because they don't know it's getting ready to be
the
hard boiled egg. I thought you were going to talk about the Yoki blow. Do you know that one?
Yes.
Where you have the big medical
surgical tubing.
Surgical tubing, and you crack an egg. You've never seen this?
No, I've never seen this.
So you crack the egg and you dump the yolk, like the contents of the egg, in the tube. And then you put one open, like you get two students that have the open end. And whoever can blow the most air through the tube wins and doesn't get the yolk in their face. It's fantastic. Like, that is...
Yeah. And if you catch it just right and one of them is like full strength and the other one goes to take a breath and doesn't block it, it's just the...
Yeah, then it's raw egg, yeah. Hulk Hogan style, straight in their throat. Man,
it's double dream hands.
Double dream hands?
Yeah, you have to look up double dream hands on YouTube.
I don't know what that is. So here's the thing. John Paul was super surprised that I like this one. And if you've listened to the podcast for any amount of time at all, you were probably surprised that I like this one too. But the reality, Nathan, without contextualization, if you like it in any environment, I think you've got to like it right here. But the side note that we've talked about, like if we take a pause for training and development at this moment, you've got to have a purpose. Like, it's got to fit in the right environment. Know your environment, and it can be successful.
Yeah. Do it on purpose. Don't just do it to do it.
Yeah.
Take some verse out of scripture and use it to bring relevance to the yoki blow.
That's right. That's right.
And call it something other than the yoki blow.
Yeah, it's a horrible name for it.
All right, number three, phrases you only hear in student ministry, such as, we've got blue and pink, don't make purple.
Spike it. The cliche student ministry phrase.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think some people would like it because it gives a hook to hang a truth on. I think too many times you hang the wrong truth on whatever hook you're trying to dangle out there.
Yeah. I'm going to spike this one too. And if you've said this recently, don't make purple, chances are you did it while you're wearing a braided leather belt. Or
what's wrong with a braided leather belt? I gotta go to the store.
Or something like you're just trying to be funny and it's not happening. Don't make purple. I spike. I don't like that.
All right, number four. Ready. Another song, tons of controversy, Reckless Love.
Oh my gosh.
We're liking or spiking the song?
No, the theological impact of saying reckless love.
This is it. So you have changed from messy games to theological implications within a song. Diving in deeply.
That's how we roll
here. But I think
here.
This is a good conversation to have.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, first of all, let's identify for people that may be wondering about this. What the controversy is, like what the issue is with the song. And the issue is that the song says that reckless love of God. All right. So the main part of the bridge or chorus or whatever my limited musical knowledge will point to this section of the song is the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. And there are some who would say the theological implication there is that God is reckless, and is that really God's character, right? So like that's the crux of the tug of war that has become the song Reckless Love. So with that, I believe you were about to like it or spike it.
So there are many likes and spikes that are in my mind at the moment, and I'm having a hard time which one to like and spike. I like the song. I would spike a theological belief that God's love is reckless because I believe in the sovereignty of God and would say that he's not reckless, but that he is all-knowing, foreknowing, completely intentional. Everything he's doing is on purpose for a purpose. But I think this is one of those times. There have been a few interviews with what's the guy's name? That Corey?
Yeah, Asbury.
Asbury. Mm-hmm. That wrote the song, and he would say that he doesn't believe that God is reckless either. But when he wrote this song, that he was writing it from the perspective of the person receiving that love.
Yes.
And this, that perspective would be that, man, it would feel to me from a human perspective reckless for the Lord to leave all that are following him and abiding in him to go chase after one that's clearly running away. And so to go kick down doors and climb mountains and, you know, remove every obstacle in order to chase down this person would feel to us like a reckless kind of love.
Yeah.
Like if I was going to kick down doors to chase somebody down, that would look reckless on my part. Maybe even feel it if that was me chasing after somebody that way. But he's very clearly said he doesn't believe that that is a true indicator of the character of God in the way that he loves us.
Yeah.
So there's also been, John Piper did an Ask Pastor John. Anytime there's a song that kind of has some controversial language, somebody writes it into John Piper.
Right.
And his basic answer has become, man, I don't really have any problem with the song, but we've got so many other songs that would convey these things well. Why not just sing the other songs?
Yeah.
And so really it's an admonition to worship pastors to say, hey, you need to care for your people in the words that you're leading them to sing in praise of our God.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things going on there. So another thing that I would spike is people just jumping on the hate Corey Asbury and Reckless Love bandwagon because of some wording that they disagree with. I'll totally spike that 100% of the time. I think we jump to conclusions often. And I would also spike something else that I've seen, and that is people not participating in worship when that song gets chosen in a worship set.
Yeah.
I've looked around and seen people just standing there with their arms crossed like, I'm not singing this song, Reckless Love. God's not reckless.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the song, I think that whole song is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And there is a tremendous truth in there that God has broken down every single barrier for all of us that are clearly running away from him.
Yeah. Man, I agree with you on this one, on everything that you've said. I spike the notion of hating against this song because of a misunderstanding of how you interpret the words. It's not saying God is reckless. That's not what the song is about. And for people to take that out of the song, it is clearly from the perspective of the person being loved. From the very beginning of the song, it is clearly from the perspective of the one experiencing the love. And like you said, for the kind of love that God showers down upon us, the kind of grace that is described by Scripture as immeasurable, like that can be perceived as a reckless act by the person who's receiving it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the person giving it is reckless, but it can feel that way. And I think that's the emotion that Corey is trying to, we're on first name basis right now. Like we just became friends with him. Like that is the,
you want to be on our podcast at any point, Corey?
Yeah. If anybody knows Corey now, we have invitations out to Shaq, Corey, and somebody else.
Yeah,
I forget.
There's a second or third one there.
Somebody was after Shaq.
I don't remember. Shaq was the one that I'm still holding out for.
Yeah.
Shaq.
So if anybody knows Shaquille O'Neal or Corey Asbury, we'd love to have him on. But that's, I think, the emotion that he's trying to get across here. And I think he does it beautifully. I think it is such a well-written, beautiful song that we should sing, that we should engage with. And I think, too, what really gets me about this is exactly what you said, and people like refusing to worship because of this song.
Yeah.
Like, can we just stop and think about what the attitude in that is for just a second? Like, you're going to stop worshiping the God that has lavished love upon you because of a couple words of a song. Like, just don't sing those three words.
Yeah.
Like, if it comes down, like, let's... This to me is a reflection of what happens. This controversy is a reflection to me of what happens so often inside of evangelical circles that pulls us away from our mission. And that is, we've got to have something to fight about. We've got to have something to disagree about. We've got to have something that's theological, that's a theological debate that at the end of the day doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to have a theological fight about something, pick something that's a central issue that really matters. Like, this is, I'm getting a little soapboxy. I can feel it happening in my body right now. Because it's this to me is a group of people who latched onto one thing and have taken it to the nth degree rather than taking the time to really focus on what the authorial intent was and to really focus on the issue at hand. It's, oh, I heard that John Piper said this and he doesn't like it, so I'm not going to like it and I'm going to hate it and I'm not going to sing around. When in reality, that's not what John Piper said either.
Yeah.
So it's people who are not doing their research on either side of it and grabbing on to a phantom argument and running it to the nth degree. I spike all that.
And it may be that your conviction in the end is just that, man, I just don't want to sing that song in my ministry. I don't want my kids singing that song. Great. Don't pick it.
Yeah.
And then move on. Or the other option is, help your students to think critically about their faith and say, okay, let's talk about what this song says. What does it mean? I mean, that one and so many others. Why in the world would you sing about God giving you a sloppy, wet kiss? Why don't you parse that out and say, okay, do we understand this? What does that mean? Do we agree with it? Could be all of these things are great teaching moments for you to help your students think critically.
Yeah.
And not just parrot whatever someone from the stage is leading you to think or believe or say or sing or whatever. Yeah. Think about it. Process it. Do you believe it? Do you understand it? Can you back it up with scripture? And then decide on a course of action.
There are so many people right now that probably went, sloppy, wet kiss. It's unforeseen kiss, John Paul. It's not sloppy, wet kiss. It's unforeseen kiss.
Listen, if you are hearing the musical authority, K-Love, on your radio.
No, here's the deal, though. Like, I think the point in there is you don't have any problem with that, but we're going to parse this one out and pick this one to have a problem with. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But I love to take a critical thinking approach to all things. And really, like, you as a student ministry leader, it is a victory for you if you have taught your students to the point that they critically think about even the things that you are preaching from week to week, that they would look into the scriptures at a deep enough level to be able to critically think about what you are saying. Like, that's not bad against you. That's a great thing that you've done because you've trained them that scripture comes first.
Yeah.
And everything goes through that filter of scripture. And I think, man, this whole controversy, I think, is focused on unresearched on both sides and the twisting of words to get it to say something that we want to fight about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not for that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other things that we could argue about that are actually meaningful.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
All right.
Producer Nathan.
We agreed.
Yeah,
we did.
So if the goal is to, the goal is not to cause disagreement between John Paul and I.
Right.
The goal is to see what we think about it.
Yep.
And we think things.
Yeah. That was good.
All right, number four. Let's think more things.
All right, here we go. Ready? Fortnite.
Okay.
I'm going to need you to give more,
just the word.
That's all you need to know right there. Fortnite. Popular video game. Everybody's playing it.
I've never played it. I can't like it or spike it.
You can spike it for me then.
Nathan, producer Nathan, you spike it.
Yeah, I spike
it. All right, let's hear why.
Mostly for me, so I've played Fortnite. I've played others in that genre, like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. I don't know. Fortnite is all the rave. All the students are playing it, but for me, it just doesn't grab my attention. Also, I'm not good at it at all. So
here's the thing about Fortnite. I like it. It spikes me.
That's good. Yep. Truth.
Because I want to be really good at it. And I try. I mean, my son is pretty good at it, and he tries to teach me, and we play. And I play it on my Twitch stream, and I'm just bad. Like, I just can't get there.
Have you found that negatively impacts your viewership when you're bad at a game on Twitch?
For some, others come and laugh. And so that provides entertainment for them. But I don't play it much on stream because of that reality. Like, I can't get good at it because I am a shoot first type of first person shooter, battle royale player. I am a shoot first player. So like you played PUBG.
Yeah.
And you like PUBG.
I like
so
it. I will like not spike PUBG.
No, me either. But it is a shoot first game. With Fortnite, it's a build first game. So you cannot play it shoot first. What I'm really looking forward to, though, and what I will give a huge like it to, is the next Call of Duty that will have a Battle Royale mode in it. Because I like the feel, the look, the way the weapons respond in Call of Duty, the best out of all of those shooter-type games. I'm excited to try the Battle Royale in Call of Duty 4. It's going to be. I don't know where that came from. It's going to be a great game.
What? I don't know what a battle royale is.
It's PUBG's a battle royale. Start with 100 or some number, and then last man standing wins.
Got it.
So the genre they've created around that is the battle royale genre.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think the genre's here to stay. It's
fun.
Captivating.
It's fun.
Except for war. That war thing in PUBG. I do not like it.
War mode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it what do you not like about it? Just
everybody parachutes in with a weapon, so as soon as you touch down, you're just getting lit up.
Yeah. It's a lot faster.
That's how you practice. Sure. That's called practice round right there.
Man.
That's right.
That's how I get tempted to cuss.
That's called the cuss round. That's good. All right, that's a great one.
That's like our pastor used to say, I didn't cuss, but if somebody had wrote it down, I'd have signed my name to it.
I love that. It's been so long since I've heard that, but that is so good. Some of y'all going to use that this Wednesday night, and that is okay. All right. Number five. This is the last one. Did we do five of these? I don't know if we thought that through.
I think we said we'd do five.
Yeah. All right, last one.
All right, here we go. Last one. Pranks.
Spike it! I do not like a prank. That was a rule for both of us.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think any former students listen to this podcast, but if you are one and you're listening to this, you will know that our rule, man, It's no pranks. Pranks are dumb. Spike it.
You've implemented that in Fuge camps, haven't you?
Well, you can't. In as much as we can, yes.
And speaking to leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking to leaders for sure. See, here's the thing that pranks. There are some who have the belief that pranks develop community and camaraderie within your group of students.
It's wrong.
And I cannot disagree more. Like, it breaks down relationships. Because here's what pranks do. They escalate. And anytime anything escalates, it eventually gets to the point where it hurts someone or something that someone loves, or both.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. And so, like, I just love when students toilet paper my house because it shows me they love me. No, it doesn't. It shows you that you have to get up the next morning and clean stuff up. I spike this one too. One time in Arkansas, we had a prank war kind of going back and forth, and it ended. I don't know if I've talked about this.
No,
it ended with this guy discharging a full fire extinguisher inside someone's car.
Oh, gosh.
It totaled the car. Like, literally.
How did it start?
They went at one of the Disciple Now events. This was over a long period of time, right? It wasn't just like they did shaving cream and then fire extinguisher. It was exactly what I said. Like, it escalated over time.
Over the course of one D now?
No, over the course of
multiple,
like a
D
year
now.
And a half.
Okay.
And different things, they would always prank each other. And it started off with, I think, the girls. I don't remember if it was the girls or the guys, but it started off with them sneaking up and doing shaving cream on the windows of a car at an event one night. So they came out the next morning. It was like, oh, we got you, whatever, right? So that's how it started. And it just kept escalating. And it ended with this. I mean, the fire extinguisher, like, powder stuff got in air vent. Like, it got into every crevice of the vehicle.
Oh,
wow.
It totaled the car. Like, you can't get that stuff. You can't get it out. And so that's one instance of many over the years of student ministry that people just get their feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, at some point, pranking always switches from funny to hateful. And that's what you want to avoid in student ministry. So the best thing, in my opinion, is just to stay as far away from having a pranking student ministry as possible, because someone's going to get their feelings hurt. And someone, like, that's a real thing. Like, someone's going to be emotionally hurt by this. And
yeah,
that is not what you want to promote in student ministry, in my opinion.
Full spikeage.
Full spikeage on that one.
On the prank. I want to do another one.
This will be the official last one.
All right, here you go. Last one, Snapchat.
I'm going to spike Snapchat. One, for two reasons. One, because I had it for a little while, and I just didn't understand it. And I think that's because I'm old. Like, that was one of those experiences that made me think, Ben, you're older than you once were. Because I didn't understand anything that it was providing to me that something else was not providing. Except for the other reason that I'll spike it, and that's that the stuff disappears unless you get, you know, screenshot it or whatever. But it just, I spike it for the lack of understanding and the service it provides that other things don't. And I spike it because it puts people in the environment of zero accountability. And I think that's always a bad situation for us to be in.
Yeah.
Is zero accountability.
Yep.
Man, so I spike Snapchat too. And although I've just found out that this was canceled after 1 week, I'm still holding this forever over Snapchat's head. And whoever created, whoever the original Snapchatters, whoever the OG snapper,
Yeah.
Is.
The OG. I like that. That was good.
They came out with this Cosmo After Dark thing that was basically a porn stream that was completely unrestrictable. So parents couldn't get on there and keep their kids from going on. It was just Friday night, there's just porn for everybody. You can put cat ears on your face and then watch porn.
Just in the feed. Or.
And for that reason, that's like a double, triple spike. Just Snapchat all together.
Yeah, so we're thankful that they stopped doing that. There will be some who probably make the argument that if students are on Snapchat, then there's something that student ministries, like we need to be in the public square and we need to be in the environment, and like there are redeemable things about Snapchat that student ministries can take advantage of. I believe that that is true about Instagram, you know, the other social media outlets. I think that student ministries should have a social media presence. Where I would draw the line is with the accountability situation. Like we need, I think, in this moment to call students to recognize how dangerous it is for them to have the feeling of aloneness.
Yeah.
If I can make up a word, because the feeling of aloneness and no accountability will cause them to do something that they're going to regret, to fall into sin. What was it? Is it Bonhoeffer that said sin demands that a man be by himself? I forget.
I think so.
I forget which. I may have misquoted. So if you're like a Bonhoeffer buff and he did not say that, I apologize. But
sound right to me.
The quote is, "Sin demands that a man be by himself," and I just think we have to steer teenagers. We have to help them see the culture with wisdom in their eyes and in their hearts. And I think if we look at the culture with wisdom from Scripture in our eyes and in our hearts, then we will see that Snapchat is probably not a good idea.
Sin demands to have a man by himself.
There we go.
By Bonhoeffer.
By Bonhoeffer.
Bonhoeffer.
Great. Well, that worked out well.
There you go.
Anything else on that one?
No.
All right. Well, that will put a nice tidy bow on the first episode and test balloon, so to speak, to use your phrase from earlier, of Like It or Spike It. So if you spike this, let us know on Twitter. If you like it, let us know, and we'll send more your way. So this has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Leave that rating review. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to get better. We do this to serve you in your mission of making disciples in student ministries all over the place. So thanks for letting us be a part of your student ministry through the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. We'll talk to you later.